ladies. I'm anxious to share with you. God bless you.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country and really throughout the world to come and join us, come and learn with us. God is so merciful, and he does not want us to perish for lack of knowledge. He wants us to be in tune. So today, we have a very special day. I'm just really just amazed at this person that's going to join us. I happened to talk to her this weekend and invited her to come on the show. So, Ms. Barbara, this is a surprise to you and Don Wildman, and I'm hoping Don is on because I think Don will just love what this lady does. But first of all, I'd like to turn the show over to you, Ms. Barbara. She always gets us on the right footing.
Well, thank you, Diana. And yes, Don is on with us, and I know that she will be greatly blessed. When I found out who was going to be on the program with us today, I was that scripture, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him that brings good news. The gospel meaning good news, the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And let's just go ahead and start with prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you, O God, for the opportunity that you give us. Lord, in so many ways, but that you chose this time for us to be on the earth and to do your will and your good pleasure. And I pray, Father, that we will be busy about your business, that the saving of souls will be uppermost in our minds and hearts, and that we will be actively pursuing it, Father, that we would be good soul winners, and that would be preeminent. And uppermost, Father, in our lives, Lord, there are many souls that must be rescued and must be saved before your return. So we pray, Father, that we will be pursuing what we need to learn and participating, Father, be active in the fields, for they are white for harvest. We ask your blessing now, Father, upon this radio show. Father, open our minds and our hearts that we might learn from Miss Claudine. Lord, just touch us, Lord, in our innermost beings And so, Father, that we might learn and apply your truths, Lord, for this hour. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. And I was just going to say, too, to start off, tomorrow we have Colonel Ismo, which, you know, he is just also a spectacular guest. I don't think there's anybody else besides Judge Roy Moore that knows the Constitution and really the history of the world like Colonel John Ismo. So he's going to be on with you, and I know, Don, you're excited about that. And Wednesday's usually our history day. Ms. Barbara, you and our other historian, Mr. Wayne Wood, will be on just, you know, sharing truths that people don't hear these days about the Constitution and national and world history. But Thursday, we have our very wonderful Grace Marie Turner, no other expert in the field of healthcare, is really can surpass Ms. Grace Marie's knowledge. She is one who formed a healthcare policy think tank, so she knows Obamacare better than anybody, I believe. So she'll be with us Thursday, and Friday is always wonderful. It's a Tea Party recap. But today we were hit with a wonderful surprise with our dear friend Ms. Claudine Chamberlain. And Don, you're just going to love this woman. Ms. Claudine, if you don't mind, tell us what you do, and if you don't mind sharing your age, I think people will be shocked also.
I don't mind. I don't mind at all. Okay, on Thursday, I'll be 85, the Lord willing. God willing, helping me till Thursday, 85. I have not decided to retire yet. There's too many that need to be one for Jesus. And anytime you want to break in and ask me a question, that's fine, because I'm not really good at talking on the phone.
Okay, I'll ask you some questions, Ms. Claudine. I think you started off, your family were missionaries. I think your parents were missionaries. So you've always been in the mission field. But this last assignment that you have in Cameroon, I think you were in Haiti before that. Can you tell me how long you were in Haiti? Can you tell me how long you've been in Cameroon?
Okay. And first I want to say thank you for having me on with these ladies. I'm anxious to get acquainted with them. And thank you so much for giving me this privilege. Yes, my parents were missionaries. I was the oldest of six children. And I went with them to the Bahamas before it was tourist land. Then during the war, World War II, and then in 1945, we went to Haiti. And I was there. I did most of my high school in Haiti. We had a school at the time. Then I came back to school and met my husband. The Lord had led us together, and in 1951, we returned to Haiti. We've been to Haiti almost 10 years. Then to Papua New Guinea in 1958. We went there. We were there 4 years. All total, we have spent almost 20 years in Papua New Guinea. It's been a wonderful, wonderful life that we've had together working with the people of these countries. We thought we had retired because I was caring for my elderly parents and an elderly aunt. We thought that we would be retired in our 60s, but it didn't happen that way. We heard and learned about the need in Cameroon. If someone did not volunteer that very day, they were going to shut down the mission. And we just couldn't bear to hear that they would be shutting down the mission. So we volunteered. That was in 1995. So since then, I broke both ankles, so I was delayed a while getting those ankles repaired and healed. So then in 1996, we went to Cameroon, and that's where we've been going ever since, 1996. We have an orphanage there, 28 children now, motherless, fatherless children. We also have a school, a primary school, and okay. I'll stop and let you talk. Diane, whatever you want to say.
Yes. Oh, thank you, Ms. Claudine. Ms. Claudine, if you don't mind sharing a little bit of when God called you and your husband to go to Cameroon. I mean, that was just a really moving testimony. Y'all were just so equally yoked, if you don't mind sharing that.
Well, it's sort of a long story, but not really. We were in a camp meeting in Florida, and we heard about this need. And being a missionary's daughter for years and years, I just, everywhere I'd hear there's a need, I wanted to go there, no matter where it was. We didn't really know where Cameroon was. It was just a small country in Africa. But we felt that the Lord was leading us. And my father was 91 at the time, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm willing to go, but what about my father? And the Lord spoke to me so clearly, said, we'll take care of your dad. We'll take care of your father. Daddy was here at the time when he heard us volunteer. And even he wondered, well, who's going to take care of me? Because he was, as I said, he was 91 then. And I said, Daddy, I asked God the same thing. And he said, we're going to take care of you. He said, that's all right. Well, God did take care of him. And in July of that same year, July of 1995, the Lord took my father home to heaven. And so I didn't have to go to Africa and then hear that he died here. God took care of him before we went to Africa, went to Cameroon. It's been a wonderful 17 years. We've been back and forth. Of course, we come and bring little orphan children and travel around the States, but age keeps creeping up on us. And my husband has not been too well. So I went back in October, and I was there for 7 weeks again. Just came back just before Christmas. And I was just thrilled to be there. At the same time, I got word that Victor was in the hospital, and that was not fun. But the Lord has been so good to us. And we just can't give up. I don't know what God has planned. We could sure use some help. Victor's done a great job of the carpentry building, and we have a beautiful facility for the children in the orphanage. And we could use more. We could have more children. We can have even 20 more orphans. That would be, there's adequate space for 20 more of the orphans. But we don't feel like we can take on more until we have the adequate financing for them. Yes.
Well, Ms. Claudine, you know, I really feel so selfish when I hear you at your tender age. And I remember seeing you many years ago. And I recall we were talking on the phone, and I remember you were giving the children that came here a bath. You know, it was late at night, and I'm thinking, at your age, having to bend down and do all that work, and I got to see the children. They were so well behaved, such sweet nature, because you know you were teaching them the love of Christ. And my goodness, people need to see that. You know, when they are taught the love of Christ, you rear children that are just really beautiful and kind, and it just shows. They were very happy children, and it just really moves me. And Ms. Claudine, here in our state, even in Alabama, we are fighting to be able to do that. There is now a government that unfortunately has making plans that will draw our children away from really what the foundation of this nation was,
yes,
and the training
so
and all the new term laws. It is so sad. And it makes what your work is so really, it shines like a light. But I know Ms. Barbara and Ms. Dawn have questions. Go ahead.
Yes, I am just really wanting to know how you train the children, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, how different they are being raised from children being raised here in the United States. What are some of the things that you do in teaching the children and training them that you think are very important, that you have seen over the years have made a difference in the kind of people that they grow up to be to be good Christian people, responsible and dutiful and loving and mannerly and generous, all those qualities you desire for them. What are some of those things that you do?
Okay, well, first of all, we can say that as of yet, the government still allows us to have prayer in the school. We have 300 children in our primary school, and we have a few children in the high school. We are allowed every day we have prayer. Every day we have Bible reading, Bible studies. Something very important that the children really love, and so many people are attracted to this, is we use the sweet bees. Now, the sweet bees, they have names. Be kind, be loving, be gentle, be honest, be obedient. And I have little bees flying in every classroom. Not really flying, but we put them across on cords up above. And the wind, the breeze blows them around. And the children from even age three, before age three, they're already learning to say, be kind, be sharing. We have a daycare where we have the little 2-year-olds and children. Those are some of the first words they learn. Be kind, be sharing, be obedient. They love it. And our 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, and others, I will give you a whole list of them. We brought 14 children back to the States, not at all at one time, but 4 different times we brought the children. And I might say right now my arms are just aching. I just love to be holding them, some of them right now. I'd still love to have. In fact, I tried to bring some back with me, and the government, the immigration, the embassy right there in Cameroon, the American immigration, they turned me down. And I don't know, but I had the feeling that they think I might be having some, maybe I'm in the trafficking of children. I don't know how they feel. But I've done this 4 times already, and it's not easy, but it has been wonderful to see how people have responded to the children, and that's how we're able to support the children. I'd still love to bring at least 2 little ones over. We had planted, Diane knows about that. She remembers Bless, and you remember others. And they're orphans, but they're not angels yet. But they are learning to pray. For example, do I have time to tell you a funny little, sweet little story of the children, of the orphans?
Yes.
Just before I left, well, we had a VBS. 339 children came for our VBS. And we made yogurt for them. They love yogurt. They call it yogurt. And we had that for them. And then I had it. We had made it, put it in a large container. When we emptied it out, of course, there was some remaining on the edges of the container. So I called the orphans and said, you may lick the pot. They love licking the pot. Any kind of a food pot, they love. We have to let them take turns because everybody loves to lick the pot. And so they were all sitting around to lick the pot, this big container of yogurt. And somebody said, let us pray. And I have a beautiful picture of those about 24 children, 24 orphans, bowing their head, even the little 2-year-old, 3-year-old, folding their little hands with their eyes shut to pray for the food that they're about to eat from the container.
Oh.
It's just so touching. I wish that I had more pictures of it. It was hard. It was hard to get the best pictures. But I still have it, and I'm planning to print it up. Okay? Okay, anything else you want to ask me about?
You know, I was thinking, you know, with the change in policy by the United States immigration officials there, it might be necessary to take more pictures and bring them back to the United States to show, you know, and even DVDs of the children and what they're doing if you're not allowed to bring them back with you. But that is so sweet. Let us pray. Oh, identify. That is so precious. So
I do have a lot of pictures. Now, to whom am I speaking? Is this Barbara or Dawn?
This is Barbara. Now,
Barbara.
And I'm going to let
Dawn Barbara.
Have an opportunity here to ask a question or make a comment. I wanted to know, is the school that you, is that separate from the orphanage itself, or is it just all a part of, is it all a compound, or
oh,
does that work?
It's an all-in-mission compound. My husband is a builder for many years in Haiti, Bahamas, not in Bahamas, sorry, in New Guinea. He was there, he built houses, and even the furniture right down to the bunk beds and everything. We have, the school is part of the compound, so the children have to just come down the steps and walk about 25 feet over to where their classrooms are. And we, in the yes, that's how it is. The children just go right to school, and they are learning. They're learning, and they're doing so well. And we teach them to write properly. They have beautiful handwriting. By the time they get to grade 3, they're doing really good writing, printing, of course. But
Claudine, I'm not going to be able to stay on long, but I wanted you to tell them at how some of the high officials want their children to go to your school.
Yes, well, when I went, I had to go see a commissioner to get permission, well, and to let them verify why I was bringing the children. So, and I had papers from the commissioner. And he just said, oh, anytime you want to take my children, you're quite welcome. Actually, I could bring 300 over. Nobody's against, over there, nobody's against us bringing the children. It's just the American consulate that gave us a problem. Now, they said I could come back and try in 2 weeks. They wanted to be sure that I had proper papers showing that I was official guardian for them. Well, actually, my husband was in the hospital, and my workers there, our close national dedicated workers there, agreed I needed to go back. They hated for me to leave, but it was important I get back to Victor. And I could not wait those 2 weeks that they suggested I wait. But it's expensive. They charge you dearly to get visas, and they're not really interested. Now, the nationals are. But it's the American people that it doesn't seem to faze them, the reason for our bringing them over. That is the embassy. But once we get here to the States, we have openings so many places, more than we could possibly, handle. But right now, at our age, I don't know if we'd be able to do much traveling, but there are still open churches, still open for us to bring the children.
Well, Don, what do you think? You have some question for Ms. Claudine?
I do, Ms. Claudine. Thank you, first of all, for this wonderful life you're providing for these children that, you know, God only knows what would happen to them if you weren't there, if your missionary work wasn't doing this. I wondered, how is it that you guys are able to afford this? Do you take in donations, or is it done through a church, or how is it you guys can support the school?
Well, actually, through our we just brought the children over and trusted the Lord to provide after we got them here, and we had no problem with the provision on this side. People are so happy. They just open their hearts, open their homes, open their church doors, and we have right here in this area of Enterprise, even Dothan, we visit some schools, and that's how we get support for the orphanage. And we also feed every day, 5 days a week, we feed those 300 school children because people want to see these children eat. If we don't feed them, they come to school with hardly any breakfast at all, and then they're hungry and they get sick while they're at school. They don't think well, they don't learn very quickly, and so the parents over there, parents pay for their school fees, and they pay for the uniforms. We all have uniforms, the same uniforms for all the children. the parents that bring their children to the school, they pay for the uniforms, they pay for, so that's how we're able to pay our teachers. We have 22 teachers and a wonderful Christian principal that the Lord has given us, all nationals that love us. We're all mom and dad to all of them, just mom and dad. And we have a newsletter. I would love for us to get onto website soon, but this is not in my category. I'm too old. I didn't learn soon enough, but I'm struggling with it right now to get on the website. A friend has offered to help me, and we have thousands of pictures, I guess. I don't know. I'd love to have it on Facebook. I do have a few on. Okay, I don't want to keep talking, but any other question, if I've not answered you, I'm willing to keep talking.
Well, I'm just so appreciative of people like yourself. I don't think it's something we don't hear about nearly enough today, people that actually make this choice to go into missionary work. And those that aren't, you know, nobody really talks about it. So I'm so glad you're on today and we're talking about it. I think if people understood not just the need for it, but, you know, all you've expressed is the absolute joy you get from this. So I think that's...
Oh, I'm dreading having to give it up. Is this Dawn?
Yes, it is,
I'm
ma'am.
I'm dreading having to give it up. By the way, we used to live in San Diego. We attended the Wesleyan, Skyline Wesleyan, but we changed our membership to Florida when I had to take care of my elderly parents. But that's been many years ago. We knew Pastor Butcher, a dear friend that just went to heaven just a couple years ago now. So I can just visualize where you are right now in San Diego, beautiful San Diego.
Ms. Claudine, for people that want to really help you, you know, with their ministry, how would you, I know we got you on your website. I do have what a long time ago. We put that on our website, and I could put in the address if you'd like, but where would you like if Dawn has some friends that would like to help you send donations, what address can we give or what information would you like to give her?
There's a little problem here. I'm not sure. Probably people would want to have tax exemption, right? It could go through, we have a couple of places it can go through, an individual group, there's a church group. We are not associated with any particular mission. Now, we're still members of a Wesleyan church, but we are not working under the Wesleyan mission now. The group is that we work with is the Evangelical Bible Mission that was started in 1939 by my father. He started it, and you could send it through EBM, and I could give you that address. Or we have another individual group that also takes donations, and they pass it on to us. I would say here that we have, I'm working right now on a newsletter, and I would appreciate anybody that wants to get on the newsletter or even with my email. Would you like me to give that now to you, or do you have, I think you have it, Diane, right?
Yeah, email, if you don't mind, give that newsletter and how people can get a newsletter, Ms. Claudine. Do they need to contact you to get that newsletter?
Yes, just contact me, and we will do our best to get them onto the list. We have dear friends up in Illinois that print it for me, but I do the process of getting it ready, and then she does the work of copying, and I put a lot of pictures in it also, and people, I'm just really thrilled at the interest that we do have, but it's not sufficient for what we're trying to do. We don't want to give up on this yet. My husband's so much better. You'll be pleased to know that Victor is doing a lot better, and we're both thinking again, and hopefully maybe we can get back to the field for a few months later
well,
this
Claudine,
year.
Ms. Claudine, yeah. I'll try to help you with a website because I already have a Peace Hope for the Nations with, you know, a newsletter that came from you. It's a very old one. But I will try to put that information in there, and I will try to pass your email on to Ms. Barbara and to Dawn also. And You know, one of the most amazing things that strikes me is, you know, at your age, you're still going, and it's really because you don't want to lose this mission, because, and you need people to really replace you. So, Don, Ms. Barwood, that's something we need to be praying for Ms. Claudine Chamberlain and Mr. Victor, is that, you know, someone will come up, you
that's
know.
That's a heavy burden we carry that stays with us, yes. If God could set the clock back for me 15 years, I'd be right back out there. And we still look forward to it. In fact, our friends say, Mom, God's going to let you live till 100 years old because your job is not finished here. So that's an encouragement, but I'm not sure 100 that I would be very useful to that age.
Well, you're incredibly useful, Ms. Claudine.
We're praying that someone will, even if we had some people to come along with us just to get the feel of it, you'll never be the same again. And we keep thinking we have, but I know it's hard. It's hard to give in. And I've just almost finished with my newsletter. Last night I worked till about 1 o'clock, and I'm not supposed to do that. I want to get it out to you by week after next. It should be out for everyone. And you'll see, again, the heart burning that we experience all the time. We just need a few people.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Ms. Claudine. Don, did you have something else that you wanted to say? I'm fixing to be off and let you and Ms. Barbara talk to Ms. Claudine, but my head just spins when I think of, at her age, she is so in love with those children and what she's doing for the Lord.
You're making me weep.
Well, I think there, you know, Ms. Claudine, you are actually proof that if you use it, you don't lose it. So the more active it appears that one is, you know, getting older is not quite the, you know, the bad thing that maybe it used to be. It seems that all the people I have even in my life that have gotten older, the more active they are, the more young at heart they feel.
Right.
And
I appreciate that, yes. Uh-huh.
The fact that you're doing it for such great works, I think, is another thing that I really believe we all need to have, is that even in our lowest moments, when you can step outside of yourself and help somebody else, it is you that gets the ultimate huge payoff.
Absolutely. That is
I think
true.
Your example and your husband's example and your father, starting back with your father, your own parents in missionary work, that's proof positive that doing things for your neighbor, you know, those outside of even your own family is...
It's God's promise to us, isn't it? Yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's, you know, I try to do that in my own life and even say to my nieces and nephews and that, you know, when you're feeling really low or you feel like you've had a failure or that things aren't going your way, the first thing you need to do is go volunteer to do something, because the minute you are...
I despise that. Absolutely.
Yeah, the minute I think you step outside of yourself and you see that you can offer so much to so many, and a lot of times it's just the cost is so minimal to ourselves. The fact of just being there and showing interest is enormous. And obviously, you guys giving children who, under any other circumstance, would never have this opportunity, giving them these opportunities is huge. And the ripple effect of what you're doing, is what I'm trying to say, is so enormous. I'm sure it will continue even past your time and your children's time, which is the most wonderful legacy.
Yes, we haven't seen it triple yet. We haven't seen the real fruit that we want to see yet, but little orphans that we took in when they were four, now they are they're in their teens and they're in high school with us, and they say, I have their letters, I saw them again, talked with them, and they say, we want to be come back, we want to continue schooling and be the next teachers and even a nurse for the compound. So that's wonderful and exciting. And we do need to help support them. We need to keep sponsorship for them because they'll be going into another school soon. and higher than what we can provide.
Well, did your father ever think of how grand the legacy he's left would have been? I think when people, I always think the people that get into missionary work are, to, first of all, it's got to be the, one of the most ultimate callings any person can ever have, to really, to
yes.
give up every creature comfort in a lot of cases that you would have in this country and go to some of the most poverty-stricken countries to help, you know, especially the children. So did you think your father would be really pleased to see how you've carried on his legacy?
Oh, yes. Yes, he would. Yes. I'm the oldest of six, and I have one sister that after 38 years she gave her life, her later life down there in Papua New Guinea. We went together in 1958, and yes, my father would be pleased. And we have many friends, my father's old friends, but the bad thing is so many of those friends that we had back there 50 years ago, they've already gone to heaven too. So that's why we have to keep looking for some new supporters and friends. And we, one of our grandsons, actually, he's a Marine, and every month he gives us a check to help Cameroon for Jesus.
Oh, my Lord, that's so wonderful.
Yes. And he and one other young man, they're in their 30s, they are the youngest of all our supporters. Most are in their 50s or 60s, a few in our 70s, a few in their 80s, and even three or four ladies in their 90s, widowed ladies, that each month they make contributions to help our school and our orphanage. So I'm just so grateful to the Lord and grateful for the privilege of sharing with them. And their reward is going to be great because, as I tell people, we could not do this ourselves. It has to be others helping us. It has to be the people on the home front that are willing to share and to pray and their concern. And they write us such encouraging letters. I'd love to share them sometime. But maybe I'm too much of a talker, but let me tell you this. The Lord told me I'm afraid to get up and beg for things. And the Lord gave me the scripture in Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. Open your mouth and speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. Open your mouth and speak for the oppressed. You can read it in every the translations, and they all are very similar, telling me to open my mouth. So I just tell people that's what the Lord told me to get up and open my mouth and tell the need, because these people can't tell us, and I don't want them to come over and be beggars. I don't want to be begging, but I would rather do the begging than for them to come over and say, would you please give us this, you know.
Well, and I think in a lot of ways that we tend to, as Americans, we are extraordinarily blessed. We really are. Even, you know, fighting the tyranny we do, we are still one of the most blessed nation for what we have. And in large extent, after, you know, major events happen in places like this, whether it was, the storms in Haiti or any political upheaval that happens in Cameroon, once that sort of has left the front page, I think people forget that these folks are still hurting, that these folks are still in crisis, that in a large extent, a lot of these nations have a very corrupt or dysfunctional government. So there isn't a FEMA or whatever that comes in to take care of these folks. That really, that the people that are taking care of folks are people such as yourself. It's the missionaries. It's the people like Team Rupert on that goes out to Haiti, and I think we forget that this is done by strictly, you know, people boots on the ground that for no other reason but want to help, and there is no government entity that is supplying the money or even the wherewithal to get these things done, and I think you're such a wonderful example of what happens if there is no intervention from a government that really neighbor helping neighbor can change so much.
You've got it. That's where it is. We've experienced that in all the corruption is terrible, even in Cameroon. But we do have some of the government officials, the education department, for example, they appreciate what we're doing. And they come, sometimes they'll even come and bring bags of rice and cooking oil and soap for the children. But it doesn't, you know, it's quite an expense. But we appreciate all that, and we try to show our appreciation. That's one thing that we are teaching the children, to say thank you. I mean, they'll say thank you for everything, whereas before, when I first went there and started teaching the teachers, they would never say thank you to the children. And they explained to me that the reason they don't say thank you is because their teachers never said thank you to them. They just said, go fetch this, or go get that, or go do this. And so our teachers are learning to say thank you. Our teachers are learning to say thank you to us and show appreciation. They say it to the children. They're kind and polite to the children, whereas before they would grab the children by the arm and be very rude to them. We have loving teachers now, and every year we have seminars with the teachers to try to encourage them to keep our school a school with a difference. That's what we call it. Ours is a school with a difference. And that difference is that we teach the sweet bees, and there are 60 of them, by the way. 60 of bees, and they're all in the Bible, too.
Okay.
They're all in the Bible.
Well, I love that.
Be ambitious, be compassionate.
Teaching
even
that,
our little 4-year-olds will say, be compassionate.
The school with the difference. I know that's true. Well, you mentioned the corruption, and there we know human nature and how there's corruption in everywhere. But
in our own country,
we certainly have it here in the United States.
Right.
But I was curious: are there many Christians in Cameroon? Can you tell us a little bit about Cameroon and the surrounding areas?
There's the Baptist churches there. Interestingly, many people, it used to be everybody went to church in Cameroon, but not always now. Now they're fashioning after our American example, and they go to ball games, they go to sports, and different events. They'll go on Sunday and not go to church. I saw this again this time when I was back in October through December. Many people go to church. That does not mean they're Christians, but they think if they're not Muslim, they are Christians. There's Presbyterian, there's Baptists, there's evangelical, well, the Pentecostals, they're going pretty strong there. But not many really preach the real gospel. And many people think, and some of our people were surprised. They thought because they were not the other, as I said, Muslim, that they are Christians.
Uh-huh.
But it is exciting and wonderful. We do have a small Bible school. We just don't have enough help. Victor and I have been there alone all these years. We come back and bring children, and we go back. I've made 12 trips back and forth, 3 months at a time or 2 weeks at a time or whatever. And we need help. We need some help. We've had a few people come just maybe for 10 days or less, helping in the school, as in seminars. We're still hoping. I'm still praying and hoping that God will touch somebody's heart. Right now, Victor could be more able to go and do a good job if he had someone to help him with carpentry. For example, and this is going to take a lot of time, but we need another classroom building. We need a girls' dormitory because many girls are disappearing between where they are at school and before they reach home. This is happening in Limbe, where we are, and other parts of Cameroon. There's a traffic, nationals are doing it and selling young girls. That's what they're doing.
Oh.
So our parents, the parents, are pleading with us to have a girls' dorm. The Baptists have a large dorm for girls. They have 800 girls in that school, and they're protected. And there's, I believe, let me see, the Catholics have a dormitory for girls. But also, the government is, education department is requiring that we have our primary school separate from our high school. And so because we have it all under the same, in the same little compound, not separated, they will not give us registration for the high school part until we have it separated. So we do have an area that we could, if we had some help, we have quite a bit to make an initial start on this new building, both dormitory for the girls and also six classrooms. But Victor could use somebody to go help him. Now, we do have national help. We hire nationals to help, and many jobs they would do, but the supervisory part is difficult to find, and the financial part of it included. It's hard for them to understand, and not too many could be trusted in that way. So that's where we stand right now. That's one of the problems, one of the burdens that we have. But the parents are very happy with the school. They love our school because the children learn to read. Even in grade one, they're learning to read, whereas other schools in grade three or grade four, they're just barely. In fact, our school teachers did not really learn to read well, and so we have little reading classes for the older ones, for the teachers themselves.
Now, what language are they learning to read?
Oh, we're fortunate. It's English. English.
Oh,
Cameroon,
okay.
Is French and English. Oh, yes, yes.
Okay.
No, we teach French in the school. That's required that we teach it as a subject. But even the first graders, grade one, has their little French class. But other than that, it's English. And it's a wonderful opportunity. I tell you, I would not exchange it for anything else. I know that we're going to have to give up one of these days. But I'm trying to hang in there with God's help until we have somebody that can really feel the heart, have the heart that we have, and see the burden and the vision.
Right. It won't be the same if those that come
I
do not have
that.
The heart for it. And, we just appreciate you so very much, you and your husband. This is just a beautiful work. I'm curious, did you grow up learning the V's as well, or did the Lord lay this on your heart as a way to teach and train children?
The sweet
Where did that come
thing?
From?
Okay, actually... We have a Christian curriculum. It's called, I'm getting away from it a little bit. The curriculum is, it slipped my mind. That's what happens. They use these sweet bees all the time. They don't call them sweet bees.
Oh, okay.
Use it each day. Each subject of each day is... deals with one bee, but with one bee, be kind, be gentle, be compassionate. And it starts, it's alphabetical, be accountable, which is a big word. Some of them didn't even know what that meant. I mean, the adults didn't know what that meant, being accountable. And it's attitudes, although there's so many. We've talked about when we bring the children over, we let people hear the bees and people love it. Several pastors have said, oh, I think we should introduce that into our Sunday school here. Yeah, I agree.
Right.
We should. Yes.
Right.
They can't forget it. The children memorize these, and we talk about every day. We talk about these bees. Every classroom deals with one of the bees. And as I said, each year we deal with 60 of them. And it has to work because it's scriptural. It's scripture.
Amen. Amen. You know, that I was just thinking, Dawn, you know, it is scriptural, and it will work, but, you know, there's no reason why that every school, public and private, couldn't use that. Be kind, you know, be gentle, be loving.
Well, look, they've gotten away from teaching the golden rule in school.
Yes.
And look what we have, a society that isn't respectful, that isn't kind, that isn't courteous. We've got kids that are, you know, don't understand any, really, the dynamics of social grace anymore. So, you know,
right.
you definitely reap what you sow.
Yes.
Right.
You called some of them right there, being responsible, being respectful, and being reliable. The children love to give these, you know, you'll say, give me one with R, and they'll speak up with one with R. So we have a game with it. It's not a game, but it's like a game because they just love spouting it out, you know, coming out like scriptures. They'll go out the scriptures, and the children learn the scriptures too. But people, we have reporters that come, journalists that come to check the orphanage, and they see the bees flying over here. The bees are really colorful. I have about 6 inches apart. I mean, 6 inches big. 6 inches wide, the wingspan, and I let the children color them, and they're very, very colorful. And then underneath, I put the word, whatever that bee is supposed to be compassionate, or be conscientious, be gentle, be respectful. And the journalists, they'll write it up in the newspaper about this, and they call them the sweet bees. So that term has stuck. People like it.
There's actually a video of you on the internet, Miss Claudine, that was taken 2 years ago of some of the little kids singing a song. And it is so adorable. They are so cute and precious. They can't be more than about 4 years old. But it's when you and your husband had gone to somewhere you were visiting, I guess. And so I watched the video. It was so cute. These kids, it's, you know, I always used to laugh about my my own family, that the reason that God made babies and children so cute was that you didn't want to take them out, you know, because they can be so so much trouble. But I looked at these kids, and the smiles on their faces and the pride they have in, you know, singing their song and keeping up with each other. I mean, isn't that, when I see stuff like that, I think, isn't that exactly the same thing we're trying to do for our kids here? Why would we not wish that for every child?
Yes, and if we don't watch them closely, as I said, our children are not angels, you know. When I stay up till 1 o'clock, I don't. My speech doesn't come out right during the day, but no, they're not angels yet by any means. But they're very sweet and loving, and they will pray. And then when we tell them, you know, you've been naughty, and Jesus, you're making Jesus sad, and they love the stories, the Bible stories, and then they'll come and say, I ask Jesus to forgive me, and I ask Jesus to come into my heart. And it's so sweet. So it's just, we just keep working at it and keep praying and loving them and believing that there will be a change eventually in their lives. But we have a problem over there. It seemed like the children, when they, some people, the labor department lady told me one time, she said, these people are born telling lies and stealing. Babies are born lying and stealing. Well, it's almost that bad. But at even age two, they will steal from each other. Our little children, our school children, will go and steal from the little backpacks and eat. And they'll hide under the little beds to go share with another little friend. So that grows, and part of it is because they've never had enough to eat, maybe. So it just stays with them. I need to talk with a a good child psychologist. I wish I had Dr. Dobson here to talk to me about this, because it is so prevalent, the stealing. It goes right up into the high government officials, right up, right from the bottom up. It's a big burden that we have. So being honest is one of the main words that we use, and being obedient, being truthful. Yes. Well, this is so wonderful. I mean, I'm really excited. I wish I could take all of you with me back over to Camelot to see for yourself. You would never get over it.
I wish we could go with you and experience this. It's so wonderful.
Listen, we have a room. We have a bed. The food would be African food, and they make good, tasty food. It's African. But if I have help, then we use American food, because we can get all kinds of vegetables, not all kinds, but a large variety of vegetables. And we're not living in the bush like you see many pictures of these little grass huts. We don't live there anymore. We used to in New Guinea. But we're living a three-story. We live on the third story of a large building. I'll send you some pictures. If you give me your address, I'll send you some as soon as I can. Perhaps by tomorrow I could have some to you, plus some of our little brochures that we have, our orphan brochures and so on. If you're interested, I'll be happy to share that with you.
That would be wonderful. Well, now, Don, what website were you seeing the children on?
It's actually on it's a video, and I'll send it over to you, Miss Barbara, so you can see it and
see it
on the website.
Is it YouTube?
Yes, but it's on Vimeo, V-I-M-E-O.
Okay, that right there, I saw it again last night. It's from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. A pastor had us come with the children. Yes, it's beautiful. I love it. And we've been there twice. We would have been there again if I had the children. Also, I have a little YouTube, and I don't know how to do a very good job of it. And the little children are singing, little choir, and they're so cute. Actually, I had plans to have a little choir there, and I had new uniforms made for them, and we were going to go out in different parts of the city and have them singing at the hospital, having them sing in different points in the city, and even to the city council. But our school van broke down, and I just couldn't get them all in one small taxi vehicle. That was one thing I really regretted that I wasn't able to do. It would have been very good for those nationals to see their own, because they love orphans too, and it would be good for them to want to share. In fact, when we do take them out, people will bring and put money in the children's hands, or put a piece of paper money on their head, and the children all bring it to me to put together. It's so sweet. So I have a small video, and I forget the name of it right now. I haven't looked at it recently, but it's the children singing. And they're all in little blue uniforms. It's out under a tree. The sun was very hot that day. But we even go down to the market, and certain ones will give us rice, or one meat man, he gives us rice about once a month. He'll give us a bag of rice. And this time he was so pleased, he gave me about 5 pounds of meat, which was nice for the children.
Well, Miss Claudine, you make our hearts sing just hearing you and hearing about the children. And we'd like to close out our show now. Don,
yes.
I'd like for you to pray, and let's just blessings upon Miss Claudine and Mr. Victor and all the children there that they're working with.
Absolutely. I'd love to. Dear Heavenly Father,
I appreciate it.
So we do too. It's very little we can do for all of you. But Heavenly Father, we come to you today, again, thanking you for the many blessings we see in the world, thanking you for Victor and Claudine and all the children whose lives they're changing, and the ripple effect we'll see from that, and from every person that hears this show and decides to lift them up by helping either financially or with their body and going and visiting and helping them actually at the compound. We'd ask for you to protect them and to keep them in your safety and allow these children to grow into resourceful, kind, reliable adults that can help their country moving forward and be an example to the other children in their country and the adults. We know, Lord, that we try so hard to bring wisdom and grace to those that are relied on in our countries, and it is not always successful, and sometimes the children can actually get those messages across so much easier. So please continue to protect them, grace them with good health, with the ability to continue to afford to do the great work they're doing, and really allow them to change not just the hearts and souls of our nation, but other nations in doing so. We ask for these things in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you, Don Hoffman, and thank you, Ms. Claudine Chamberlain. And listeners, we are so glad that you joined us today, and we know that as you listened, you were inspired and touched very deeply by what you heard. So please share this podcast with your friends and family wherever they are, and it will be at cityonahill.tv. You can access it there to share with others. And we thank you again, Ms. Claudine. You've been a great blessing, and we are just very grateful that you joined us today. And listeners, we ask the Lord to bless you and to make his face to shine upon you and to prosper you. And thank you once again for joining us at City on a Hill Radio Show. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God bless. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.